What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Gray Area Podcast. This podcast will serve as a platform for all opinions, ideas, problems, and solutions. Feel free to individually acknowledge specific conversations, positions, problems, and ideas that pertain specifically to you, your family, your community, and more, as long as it's done with respect. I am your host, Drew, aka Drew Breeze, and I want to talk to you. This podcast, entitled The Gray Area, represents the conversations we have at the dinner table, the barbershop, the beauty salons, the trap house, the church, even on the personal phone conversations, and so much more. We can't get to the solution of a problem if we're never willing to have the conversation. This is The Gray Area. All right. I think we good. So we're going to get ready to get started. Just always, yeah. Just make sure you're in the mic.
Yep.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Gray Area. It's been a good time. We having some great conversations. I got a great friend with me today. He is the musician of musicians in Cleveland. We had a conversation before. If you guys listen to that, this one is going to be the redo or redub or part two or whatever. If you guys enjoyed it and listened to some of the things that he had to say, if you could hear it, cool. If you couldn't, I apologize. It's still a work in progress. But I got my great friend in here, Elijah Gilmore. And I'm so happy to have you in here, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
I'm honored to be here.
And thanks for coming back.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming back. That was a mess up on my end.
It actually still was a great interview. If y'all get a chance to check that out, check out that first interview.
Please check it out. Actually, I'm going to try and work with somebody, a couple audio engineers, see if we can get it redone. If there are any audio engineers who are looking for some work, a couple extra dollars, I'm paying.
Howard? Hit Howard up.
Get you together. Okay. Make sure we get his information.
If he can't do it, he knows somebody. Howard, he's that guy.
Okay. Yeah, because
shout out to Howard Dillard.
Howard Dillard. I know who he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the guy.
I need to reach out to him. That'll definitely be a move. So I don't know if we did the last time, but if we did or did not, let's just redo it and tell the people about yourself.
Okay. My name is Elijah G. What's my stage name? But real name is Elijah Gilmore. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm a jazz recording artist and music producer.
Who you play with? Everybody.
Well, over the last decade, I've toured with Joe McBride of Heads Up Records, and currently I'm touring as the percussionist for Gladys Knight.
Now, as the percussionist, there's a difference because a lot of people know you as playing drums, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask the question that I asked before. Why are you not playing the drums? You're playing bongos?
Yeah, percussion.
Percussion? Yeah. Bongos? Yeah. Black people know them as bongos.
Yeah, right,
let's
right,
get
right,
them
right,
in the right, language. Right. You playing bongos?
Yeah.
Why are you not
it's
playing
still
drums?
Drums.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but we want to hear that. We want to hear the solo.
I got
we want to hear that.
Solo. They just cut me loose.
Yeah, you do. But we want to hear Cleveland.
I got
we know you hear Cleveland playing drums.
I got you.
Why are you not playing drums?
One of the reasons I took the percussion position is because it would give me a little more liberty to do my thing as a jazz artist.
Right.
Because if I was her main drummer, then I couldn't miss any shows. You know, it's not happening. You know,
right.
So as a percussionist, there's a little more freedom in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I said, I'm still able to play drums. I enjoy it still.
Now, were you the MD?
No. Leon is the MD. My good friend Leon Turner.
Also from Cleveland. Shout out to Leon.
Before that, I believe her drummer was her musical director. And I can't think of his name.
That's what MD stands for, if y'all don't know.
Yeah.
Just in case. So Leon was the MD. And you guys, you're not touring right now.
We're not touring due to COVID.
Due to COVID. And then you're not touring. Your own personal.
Correct. Everything shut down due to COVID.
Man, I mean, so when something like this happens, do they prepare you guys, or is it just you're missing out on money?
Well, you know, when you're in business for yourself in general,
you should plan for something like this.
Yeah. You, as I tell all my entrepreneurs, people who want to jump into being self-employed or going in business for yourself, you want to have money put to the side for a rainy day. And so
rainy couple months, it's been.
Oh, yeah. And I've been able to hold myself down because I have a savings.
That's what's up.
But as well, it's like I said, you know, if you're going in business for yourself, you want to have money put aside for to invest into business as well, if that's your thing. But at least have a savings at a minimum.
Kevin Hart was talking about, shouts out to Kevin Hart, but he was
talking. Kevin Hart, shout out.
He was talking about what happened when he first hit the platform, and I think it was CBS that paid him something like $250,000, right? They just gave him $250,000. Okay. That was your payment.
It's an advancement.
Yeah, something like that. This is your pay. You know, we need you to do this. Mm. This is what we're paying you. They never took the taxes out. That was on him because he was in business for himself. Mm. He's a contracted actor. This is what we're paying you, $250,000. And so he immediately, just being young, and this is something that we were talking about earlier, the education behind what it means for credit, taxes, all that stuff, he found himself in almost like $500,000 debt.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was, you know, doing this thing. He bought his mom a house, you know, bought throwback jerseys, bought mom a car, bought himself, you know, something. And then he was like, well, I want to buy something else. And they was like, hey, bruh, you had no money. And not only do you not have any money, you're in the hole.
I've seen it happen to the homies that are new in the game.
Yeah.
And not used to paying taxes, get caught up like that when they get into a situation where things are being reported.
Now, when you do these contracts to go on tour or whatever, Do they have something in there that talks about taxes should be taken out, or is it just here's money that you get?
Typically, in the industry, there's a contract with whatever you all agree to, mm-hmm. which is unique to each situation. And then you might be on a situation where they don't have a physical contract and it's just an oral agreement, which I would not recommend.
Right.
If all possible. You know.
How often is it that they give out oral contracts and a lot of people just take the oral contract? Is that more frequent than black and white on paper?
It's more maybe common among black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll just do the church oral covenant.
Right.
The problem with that is later down the road, it's their word and what they remember versus your word and what you remember. So I wouldn't, if all possible, even if they don't do contracts, if you say, hey, I would love to join your organization, and just
or bring your phone,
have them meet
have
you,
a voice memo.
There you go, voice memo, or you know, you can have them just do business with you how you do business.
Yeah,
and you know, let them know how it benefits them as well. That we're green. That I'm going to do this for you.
Now,
and then you have some people that will really just say, nope, we don't do contracts, and you have to make a decision if you're going to still roll with that team or not.
Even if you're good.
Even if you're good. Now, they want you bad enough, they'll make the adjustment.
They'll make the adjustment.
But, you know, then you just have some people who are just locked into how they've been doing things for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like I said, they want you bad enough to make the adjustment.
Now, how long you been playing?
I've been playing since a little boy, maybe 3, 4, 5, one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. In church, I would rip the handles of the fans off and play on the seats and try to mimic the drummer.
Wow. Yeah, I wish I had that smartness. I was just using my hands.
Nice.
I was banging on a little mat that was on the pews.
Nice.
That was my thing. Sit right in front of the drums and do that. But that's what's up. And then so with growing up playing the way you did, what was your way of transitioning into the music industry? Was it reaching out, or was it just doing your thing and people seeing you? So the transition from playing in churches here in Cleveland and just doing little local gigs.
I see.
Yeah.
So.
Traveling.
It's about the building good relationships.
Yeah.
Because the guy that you might look at as small fish today might get an opportunity, and because you treated them good,
yeah,
and because you can play, they may recommend you or call you for some work. So you want to treat everybody well and just try to build solid relationships.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain people in the area that you know
are connected.
Yeah. Or they look like they on their way to doing great things. Yeah. You want to build relationships with those people.
Now, how many people have you trained that are
a lot of people
out there?
And I don't people when they train with me, it's private. If they want to put it out there,
yeah.
I can tell you some people who have put it out there, who, so it doesn't matter.
I did.
You being one of them. Yeah. John Winfrey.
Yeah.
Monica.
Shouts out to John.
Shout out to
He responded John, to that, yes, that post we put up.
I love
and
it.
You know, if you didn't listen to the post or didn't listen to the podcast, man, go listen to it. We had a great little story about John. He's an excellent musician. Shouts out to John Winfrey.
Absolutely.
Looking
Shout
forward
out
to
John.
Seeing, looking forward to seeing more about what you're doing, bro. So, but yeah, you
great, great musician, y'all. Great musician, great producer.
He's only
very
like
proud.
He's only like 28.
Dude, John is so.
He's so beyond his time.
Yes.
It's ridiculous, if you think about it.
Yeah, he like, John.
You know what I'm
John,
saying? Like
John is just.
Yeah, that dude right there, yeah, going places. Shouts out to you.
Yeah, shout out to John. Very proud of you, bro.
So what's going on with your music now?
So during this pandemic, I've been using this time to practice and write new music.
Uh-huh.
I'm dropping a Christmas single next week. I did my own arrangement of Drummer Boy.
Right.
And then next year, I have a single in the spring that's dropping that I'm doing with Ed Ridley. Some people call him Professor Ed Ridley because he teaches at Tri-C.
Okay.
And Ed Ridley,
yeah,
he's that guy.
Really?
He's that guy, yeah. I do a lot of theater work with him around the area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're working on something for y'all. We got something for y'all.
If you haven't gone, like, go on YouTube. What all do you have on YouTube?
Well, I have video content of me playing with my band. I have.
And your band is Eli G now. No.
Well, Elijah G is my name as an artist.
Yeah.
The band is called the
Tribe of Eli.
Eli.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And you, is that what's on hold with the pandemic? The traveling?
Yeah.
Tribe of Eli?
So my project is on hold. There's no traveling. We're not doing any shows due to the pandemic. But definitely looking to get back out here and hit the road real soon.
What do you think it's going to be like in the next 3 to 5 months? First, yeah, answer that first. Then I want to ask you another question.
Well, the industry, they're saying the industry won't come back to August of 2021. We're hoping that it will come back by spring, and it'll probably come back by summer.
As far as traveling and stuff.
The music industry, period, is expected to come back by August of 2021, in the fall. The musicians, of course, wanted to come back by spring. So I just said somewhere in the middle. It'll probably be summer.
January.
Right.
I bet. Yeah, man. That's the
game shut down.
Yeah. So what are you still doing?
So like I said, I've been using this time to be productive and getting back into the drums like I was when I was younger, really studying it and studying different drumming, Indian drumming and African drumming, and just that's something I missed because I've been out here working and just paying bills.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm just back to the love of drums
just
and music.
Love of music,
been writing some new music.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, this has been a great time for me as a producer because many artists, since they've been down as well, have been writing their own music. Right. So I've been being able to make my money on the back end as a producer.
Right. You gonna get the vaccine?
No.
How do you feel about this vaccine?
I don't trust the system.
I think it's weird.
If you want to get it, I'm not gonna talk bad against it, but
right.
Y'all let me know how it turns out.
Yo, the memes that have been coming out about this vaccine have had me in tears. They got the one with, I think it was this old lady, the 90-year-old, the first woman they gave it to. And then there's this movie, this, I guess it was a horror movie, where the old lady starts climbing up the wall after she took the vaccine. Look, I'm not. But see,
God has made our bodies
to be able to fight,
self-sustaining. Yes. All we have to do is keep our immune systems up.
Yeah, and so we can go into that now. Okay. I mean, everything, all we have. Look, Pastor Mike Todd. Shouts out to my guy, Pastor Mike Todd. He's based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Shout out.
He preaches all you need, all you have is all you need. And I think we've been so based and so planted in, we need somebody else to survive. We need this to survive. We need this to go forth. We need this to make sense. And, I mean, all the hospitals we have, all the vaccinations we have, when if we were really just natural in the ways we are. The one show we were talking about that's on Netflix. I think they talk
game
about
changers.
I think they talk about the Roman gladiators.
Yeah, the game changers.
Yeah, and I think we just, you know, because they were built in a certain kind of way that they you know, killed meat and ate meat, when the ones who were the strongest and had the bones and all that were vegan. Mm-hmm. Pretty natural.
Even Dr. Sebi, if you're not hip to him, check out his work.
Yeah.
And
Nick Cannon talks about him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Great, great genius. Man,
yeah,
that he was. He's an herbalist, but some of the diseases that we're not able to heal in our Western society, he was able to show us how to heal it with a natural, plant-based, alkaline diet.
Yeah.
So, you know, medicine is cool. I think doctors are cool. Sometimes you might need to get an operation or something. I'm not going to knock the hospital.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the medical world. But I think we're learning and we're evolving as a people.
Absolutely.
You know, we did what we had to do before we knew better. But now we know better and we're like, yo, this is the better way. Instead of me taking meds all my life, why don't I get to the root of the situation?
That way of saying we did what we knew to do before we knew better, or we did what we had to do before we knew better.
Don't get it twisted. Some people probably knew and just didn't say nothing because it's going to mess up their money flow.
But I think the whole thing of we did what we had to do, like before this medicine, speaks more volumes than anything. I mean, back in those, you know.
I see.
BC and all
we
those
had
other
to rely
stuff.
On plants.
You had to rely on plants. You had to, you know, you had to eat. Mm-hmm. But they were all based out of the earth, where mm-hmm. you know, that's where we're from. You know, I don't know what everybody believes, but you know,
just science shows us that we're all African. Everybody has African in their DNA. We all came from the same place, Africa. So that's not up for debate. I don't know any Europeans who can make a black baby, but I can show you black people who can make a lighter skin baby, or even a white baby, albino or whatever. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's not something but you believe in things you can't prove.
They didn't come from the mountains of Caucasus.
What happened was Africans migrated to colder climates, and just like you have snow leopards and, you know, snow bunnies, our skin adapted for the environment. You know, so when you're in a place where there's less sun, you need less melanin to receive that very limited vitamin D. When you're in a place where there's a lot of sun, the melanin helps you protect you from getting cancer.
Yeah.
You need longer hair to protect the neck from the snow. Your nose needs to be smaller because it's cold versus when it's hot, your nose needs to be wider to let yourself breathe. And, you know, so our body adapts to different environments like animals.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think.
And guess what? They had to eat meat because when it's cold, there's no vegetation. It's winter. You had to kill an animal to eat.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we adapted some things over time.
That's interesting. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That when it's
sometimes cold. They had to even commit cannibalism when there was no animals around because there's no fruits and veggies to store up. So we're in the snow.
It's a little much.
Yeah.
It's a little deep.
Sometimes they had to do that. Whoever the weakest person was.
I be having, so since we started there, I be having this concept. You know, Adam and Eve had their kids, right?
Okay.
Who they had their babies with? It's a little nasty.
What'd right? you say?
Adam and Eve had their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and who else?
Wasn't it Cain and Abel?
Cain and Abel. I don't hear no daughters in that whole thing right there, boy. Where'd those kids come from?
You want to go down that rabbit hole? Do you want to go down that rabbit hole?
I'm for it. The questions that be coming in my head, bro, like, did they have to get it in with their mama?
Bruh.
But you see, the Bible is one of those things where, like, you just grow up and you hear the teachings and all these things, right? But then, like, when you're a person like me that sometimes just wake up with just thoughts on your head, like, and I'd be like,
see, that's good because they teach us to not question things and not to be thinkers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
For example, I'm going to give y'all an example, y'all. Now, y'all, mind y'all, he opened this up. He started this. Okay.
Sure did.
So.
Sure did.
So, mind you, 9/11.
Uh-oh. Wait.
Yeah.
What just happened?
Yeah. You done took us down a rabbit hole. So, anybody that understands engineering or just simple physics knows that a building cannot drop at free fall speed just because an airplane hit the top of it. Those buildings were constructed so that if an airplane did hit it, it wouldn't come down like that. The only way that a building that's made out of steel can come down at free fall like that. Free fall is you have some keys and let it drop off the top of the terminal tower. That's free fall speed.
Right.
It's not coming down like that from a plane hitting the top of it. Even some of the theories that they say, the pancake theory, it got so hot at the top, and it still wouldn't come down at free fall speed. Only way you can do that is you have to cut it at an angle at the base of the building with molten lava, and you have to put explosions in the different floors. If you go back and look, you can just research your stuff.
Shoot.
You can see the bombs coming out the side of the buildings. People said they heard the first bomb in the basement, which is where how you would do demolition style. You hit it from the basement first. It's already cut at an angle.
You cut the foundation.
Yeah. When they move the all the debris and everything away, you can see that it's cut at an angle. You can see the molten lava, or I don't know if that's the proper terminology for it, but you can see it dripping off the steel post where it was cut, you know. So, you know, but people in building 11, I think it was building 8, building 11, didn't even get hit by a plane. It came down free fall speed.
Wait a minute, it didn't?
Yeah, no. So this is what I'm saying. You're not supposed to question things, because when you do that, then it exposes things. So don't question. Don't ask any questions. Just
controversial issues.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. He
started this, y'all.
These things. No, but so I get where you went, but I guess my question is still, where did people come from?
So
we had people we know, whether you believe in Christ or not, two people, you know, this is where we started. right? With Adam and Eve. That's the most talked about conversation of the start of humanity.
Based on the history of Christianity, it's relatively a young religion. It definitely America's young as well. So, you know, there's cultures and people that existed before America and before Christianity. One of the reasons I wrote this song, The Temple of Luxor, is because you can go to the wall at the Temple of Luxor and see what's on those walls.
Where is that?
Africa, Egypt, which they try to say is the Middle East, but it's Africa. You see Africans on the walls of, you know, this pyramid.
I got a story about that, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, one of the things on the Temple of Luxor walls is a story of Horus, or Heru, which is a sun god. It has the same identical storyline as the Jesus Christ storyline, but it predated Christianity and America. And archaeologists can tell you how long it's been up there. So, I'm not one of those people that think I know it all. Mm-hmm. Because it's just too much information out here.
It's too much information. But there are some things that, because you've been exposed to and learned, you have understandings of maybe things that people really question.
I think if we look hard enough, we can find the answers. But just understand, and when you go down that rabbit hole, start peeking behind the curtains and looking under the rocks. It may challenge your very foundation of, you know. So that's why some people don't want to go down that rabbit hole. They're like, I don't even want to know. This is what works for me. And
that's a conversation of politics that we're gonna get into. But go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there's a new concept that's out right now. And I watched this on YouTube. You remember Billy Graham?
Yeah.
Okay, he used to be one of the biggest evangelists out here.
Yeah.
And there was a professor at a college. He says, where do you feel, you know, the church is going now? You know, what direction? He says, I believe that we all are serving the same God calling something different, you know. And he says, I believe that if you're a person of love, then you're a child of God. And the professor was like, splendid. There's a wide mercy in God's love. And so, you know, there's some people that's like, hey, man, that's a little too radical. That's a little too left field. But, you know, I think we all are trying to figure out, you know, the meaning of life, where we come from, where we're going. And I think it's okay to say that you don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's okay for some people to say, hey, I don't know, but this is what I believe.
Right.
You know, some people say, hey, I want to be on the safe side. Well, the safe side, you probably go to the earliest African religion, since they were the first people on the planet, figure out how they related to God. That might be the safe side from a logical standpoint.
Right.
But, you know, we grew up in America. We're Christians. If we grew up in India, there'd be a 90% chance we'd be some form of Hindu and waiting for Christians to return. If we grew up in, you know, Middle East Africa, there'd be 90% chance we'd be some form of Islam and waiting for Allah's return. So, you know, we grew up on the plantations, and the master said, you know, this is how we do it. And that's what we adapted for us. So, you know, both my parents are pastors. I'm a Christian. That's why
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah. My father is actually one of the head administrators of Ashland Seminary. So
I never knew that.
Yeah. So one thing that I've learned from my travels as a musician and from all the knowledge of being in the church and being around ministry is that nobody really can say. That's why we have different denominations. We have Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, non-denomination, and just whatever works for you. I say, what did Jesus teach? Jesus taught us to love your sister as yourself. If a man say he loved me and cannot love his sister, that person does not know God at all, because God is love.
Right.
So that's really my religion, is love. I don't get too much into the denomination.
Mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, you know, works for you. But just let's be loving people, because there's a lot of Pharisees out here. There's a lot of people that are saying that they're Christians and do not know how to love each other.
Right.
You know, don't, you know, there's a scripture where, don't quote me word for word, y'all, but there's a scripture where there was a Pharisee that didn't want to help his parents because he said, I had to pay my tithes. And Jesus says, you evil man, because you're using religion not to do the right thing. You know, so I don't think that Jesus was a religious person. This is my personal opinion.
He couldn't have been a religious person.
I ain't scared of none of y'all out there. I don't think Jesus was a religious person. I think he was spiritual. I think he was a loving person. There's another scripture where I believe, again, some Pharisees were having a debate with what were these people called? They were having a debate with somebody.
Okay.
And basically, the debate was about, isn't your body the temple of God? And you're eating this shrimp and lobster, scavengers of the sea. You know, you're eating this pork and this beef. You know, and Jesus said, look, that passes through the body. But what comes out of a man's heart defiles his temple.
Right.
And so, look, if you got people that want to go with the old covenant and they women cover up and they go to church on a certain day, respect their way. And for those who, to be in love and harmony with each other.
Right.
And for those of you who are more conservative, don't judge the people who are more liberal. The main important thing is that we love each other.
Facts. So that goes really deep into some other conversations. I was saying before, there are two things I wanted to base off of that was, I'm sure you're hip with Israel, Hebrew Israelites.
I know a little bit about them. Yeah.
I had a dude.
You going deep today. Hey, y'all, he on blaze today, y'all. It's cool, though.
I had a dude.
Y'all.
I had a dude come up to me at Walmart to give me a pamphlet. This dude went off. He was like, are you ready for the coming? Right? And Jesus was black and all that other stuff. And I'm like, just sitting there, just, okay, cool. And he goes into, you know, you need to know, you know, what it really was and where people came from. And I was like, okay, cool. Great. Where's Egypt? And he was like, it's in Africa. I was like, I know that. I was just making sure you knew. So if we know that, why are you out here trying to make people believe Jesus is black just because Western Europeans put up a white Jesus? You're doing the same thing, just reverse.
Yeah, ultimately, whether Jesus was white, black, purple, yellow, green.
The man.
What was the message that Jesus taught?
Look. At the end of the day, the only color I care about is his blood color, which was red. If he came here human, he bled red. Name me any ethnicity that bleeds something other than red, because red was the color that saved me. If we really want to get down to it, I don't care if they try to tell me he was white. At the end of the day, if they're reading the same Bible that I am, which is what they did in slavery, they just put it there on their own words to use it against us, saying this was a sin and God was going to, whatever the case is. If you read the Bible, we know everything started in Bethlehem, Egypt, and all those other, Jerusalem, all those other places that come from Africa. So because we know that, I don't need you to tell me Jesus was black. I don't need you to tell me he had melanin in his skin.
I think it's a cool thing that we're starting to have pride and ourselves, because I know personally coming up, I'm 41. So I grew up, I was born in 79. And I remember.
You're 41?
Yeah.
You look good, dog.
Thank you. I remember when we were younger, if somebody said you were from Africa.
Right.
Be like, man, I ain't from Africa. I ain't no African booty scratcher. You know what I'm saying? We were ashamed to say we were from Africa. We didn't. The lighter you were, the better you were.
Right.
You know, and now the age we live in now, the darker you are, it's like, whoa, I wish I had skin like that. You know, because we're starting to have pride in ourselves because thanks to the internet, we're learning about our history.
I used to hate being dark skinned. Then I got older, realized women love some dark chocolate in their life.
Not only that, y'all don't age. Y'all don't age. And I ain't gonna say it's like
no, it's some, for it's everybody. It's some, like, but just don't do drugs.
In general, you know, the melanin helps you age a little more gracefully.
Yeah.
But not in all scenarios, but most scenarios, that's what it is.
So my thing with the Hebrew Israelites is some of them preach equality. We're the same. But your message is, from what I've seen, I haven't dived deep into it. Just from the people who talk to me about it, all I see is the same thing, just in reverse education.
Reverse racism.
Yeah, reverse racism.
Not cool.
That's the only thing I see. And so,
but let's clarify. Reverse racism. It's not, we having pride in ourselves. That's a good thing that we're starting to have pride in ourselves.
Absolutely.
Reverse racism is when we say we're superior to somebody.
And
what we got to understand, is it okay if I?
Go ahead.
We have to understand that a superiority complex is rooted in an inferiority complex. So if you got a need to prove that you're greater than somebody, you're really inferior to them. You know, because otherwise you can celebrate them and not have any.
I always say racism started by one white man telling a black person that he was better.
Say what now?
Racism started by one white man telling a black person he was better.
Here's some of the theories or hypotheses that Dr. Frances Kress, check out her work, y'all. She wrote the book, The ISIS Papers, ahead of her time.
Who? Know.
Dr. Frances Kress.
Okay.
I said she wrote the famous book, The ISIS Papers, back in the day. She was ahead of her time, and she's a psychologist. And she was saying that some of the fears that white people have is that we have dominant genes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to lay with their daughter, the baby would come out darker, curly hair. So you drink your water over there.
Right.
Not only there, she says how they may have an issue with the fact that everyone comes from us. You know, everybody has African DNA in their blood and that acceptance. Not only that, she said that when they would hang us, a lot of times they would cut off our penises.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be proper on
radio. You know what the show is.
Yeah.
Say what you need to say.
Yeah. But, you know, if for a long time it's been known that Africans have a little...
We're well endowed.
So for all these
went
reasons...
Went to the bathroom and the water was cold. He didn't know it was cold. I'll tell you why it was cold.
So for all these different reasons,
right?
She was saying subconsciously, or maybe for some consciously, these are reasons why racism exists, and that I was told that even poor white people would rather vote for somebody that will take away like stuff like Obamacare that would help them as a poor white person just so they can say, I'm better than you as a black person. Just so they can be superior to a black person. I'm willing to get rid of Obamacare, even though I know my family needs it, just because I want to feel that I'm better than you. Right. Which, again, is rooted in insecurity.
Right. Have you heard, so Wale has a great album that came out not too long ago. Big fan of Wale. I think he's very underrated as an artist.
Oh, he's dope.
He's very underrated as an artist, but he opens up his album with a song that is called Sue Me. And it's basically him saying, sue me because I'm rooting for everybody that's black. The best part about it, if you have not seen the music video, have you seen the music video?
I can't wait.
See the music video, because the music video represents the change in today's society. So it's the difference. When I say the difference, it's black people are on white people's side. White people are on black people's side.
I love it. And this is something that, for those of you who don't follow me, the Tribe of Eli, that whole name was given to me because I used to be the band director for IM216, which was an open mic that we did at Take 5.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brian. Basically, we would have different poets singers, rappers come in. We did that for about 2 years. And we were the house band. So they said, what are we going to call the house band? They said Tribe of Eli. So it just stuck. But what I represent, which if a person's a part of the Tribe of Eli community, we're all about world peace. And if you believe that we can achieve world peace, although it might sound real far-fetched, anything that would ever happen that was, you know, that was great, people didn't think it could happen before it happened, whether it was flying a plane or the internet. So it may sound crazy, but I believe we can achieve world peace. It may not happen in our lifetime, but we can be working towards it. So if you believe that, then you represent the Tribe of Eli.
But what does that look like in the process? We were talking before, and one of the stories we brought up was I was listening to Killer Mike, and he was the one that was talking.
Shout
about,
out to Killer Mike,
man, big dude. Not just in big.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Killer Mike. But he was talking about the story of Moses and the fact that Moses was told by God to lead people out of slavery to go to the promised land. However, it was a land that he never saw. And I think the problem is there are so many of us that are looking for a change in today instead of and really playing the long game.
We got to learn how to play the long game because, you know, big change doesn't come overnight. It comes gradually.
It can't. There are too many changes that need to be made.
Short of a revolution, then it could come instantly. Like when the Europeans came over to America,
right,
and you know, slaughtered all the indigenous Indians over here, who were just Africans who migrated here first. Then it came right away. But short of something like that, if we're going to do it with integrity and, you know, if we're going to be people of love, if we're going to say we're Christians or godly children, then we don't fight fire with fire. We fight it with water. You know, we don't let any man bring us to a level where we would hate them.
Right.
So short of that, yeah, it's going to take some time because we don't want to become like them. We don't want reverse racism.
Right. Do you think if the roles were switched, I think this was a great concept that Wale was trying to get across. If the roles were switched, there's one segment at the end where there's a white guy who's going through this world where he's really looking over his back everywhere he goes. He's playing the
This Is America video?
No. That's somebody else.
That's another great one.
Yeah, that's another great one. Yeah. Really great one. Yeah. But he's playing the role of a black guy but he's white and he's walking through the streets. He's going to like coffee shops and everybody's black and the white dude is.
Oh, I think I saw that movie. That's a movie?
No, it's a music video.
Okay. There's a movie out on that. I don't know what it's called, but I think they did a movie like that with a white guy.
Well, this dude, he's going everywhere black people go and see the things that black people see. You know, you go to a coffee shop and you can literally, like, this has happened to me. First of all, I'm a Dunkin' guy. I like Dunkin'. Starbucks. I don't like Starbucks.
Really?
Starbucks is jet fuel. Now, sometimes the hours for Starbucks are better. That's a whole nother place. But I've literally been into a Starbucks or other places and I've seen orders of other people taken care of before mine. And no, they didn't place their order online before they got there. No, they didn't. You know, they came in there the same way I did. And I've watched my order be taken care of after somebody who came in after me. And of course, they were white. But we played a reverse role in this music video where this white dude is really watching the concept of what black excellence is and a world that has to subscribe to that. And there's a part at the end where the white boy goes and visits his dad in jail. And he's talking about all these policies that are helping, that are supposed to be in place for nonviolent criminals and nonviolent, you know, felons who are in jail. These things are supposed to help them get out. And the one thing that the father says is those don't help us. Not people like us. It's the difference. It's the change. Yeah. This is the conversation black people are having with their dads who are in jail for nonviolent crimes, and we see all these policies that go forth, and they're supposed to help us. And a great thing that's happened, you know, during Trump's administration and some of Obama's administration is the whole concept of how we're going to free felons with nonviolent crimes, and you're going to visit them, and of because they're in jail and how they went to jail, they're saying these same words. It don't work for people like us. But the music video shows the other side of if white people had to deal with this. And so my question is, you say you believe that we're on a road to really uniting people as a whole. The process of that, we're not going to see it tomorrow. We may not see it in 5 to 10 years, but the process of that, because we have so many people who are angry, how do we get there? There are so many mental giants who live in today's world. I saw a post today where somebody said pretty much what the hashtag was, fuck Martin, I'm Malcolm. A lot of those people don't even have never read Malcolm's literature. They have never even looked at Malcolm's literature.
Before Malcolm, can you hear me good? Before Malcolm, can you hear me?
A little bit more. Yeah, scoot up. Just look. There you go.
All right,
gotcha.
I had to go in G mode real
quick. Yeah.
Okay. Before Malcolm passed away, he saw the light.
Exactly.
He saw the light.
Exactly.
And he realized that the racism he was dealing with in America. Not so much when he went to go visit Mecca. He saw how the white and black people were getting along with each other. And it wasn't Islam from an American standpoint, like the Nation of Islam. It was Islam, the full scope of the religion.
Yeah.
And then he had to change his view.
He had to.
Because anytime you get exposed to something, it has to change. Even if you don't accept it as your way, but it will change the way you view things. For instance, give you an example, and I'm going to answer your question. For some people... Because I told you, I ain't scared of none of y'all. For some people who are like marijuana is bad or weed is bad, until they do their homework and they figure out what we drinking right here. This is what Ciroc. Shout out to P. Diddy. This has no medical benefits for our body.
No.
And Jesus drunk wine. And they're trying to say there's some medical benefits to that. But in general, if you're sick, they don't tell you to drink wine.
No.
You stay away from wine.
Yeah.
But
it helps with blood flow.
Okay.
Why?
Well, marijuana has so many benefits. And you don't have to smoke it if you don't want the effects of the smoke. But until you do your homework on it, you've been taught, hey, that's bad. And, you know, you're a sinner and don't touch that. So a lot of us have to get past the point of just being sheeple and really start doing some critical thinking, questioning things. To answer your question, I think one thing that can help us move forward is we have to institute in our education system teaching or educating our children of all colors how to first love themselves. Exactly how you are. If you're white and pale, if you're dark, whatever you are, love yourself. Don't compare yourself. Love yourself. Respect somebody who's different, who may look different than you. Maybe have bigger teeth, bigger nose. Maybe they small. Maybe they're big, fat. How to respect people who are different.
Right.
The emotional intelligence, how to be sensitive and be in tune to people's emotions. How to communicate, not only how to speak, but how to listen. Conflict resolution. All the things that would save a marriage should be taught to our kids.
A union?
Huh?
A union.
Yeah. These things should be taught to our kids all the way up to college.
Facts.
Like we learn math and science all the way up to college.
Facts.
I think we could call it the Heaven on Earth Act. The Heaven on Earth Act. And mandatory for everybody to learn this. Because our issues in the world are not math and science. Our issues are interrelational, how we deal with each other, whether it be, you know, black and white, man and female, Christian and Jewish, you know, America and Asia. We need to learn how to be a better human family. Because if we don't learn this really soon, y'all hear me out. Everybody got bombs now. We're going to self-destruct. If we don't learn how to be one human family and how to preserve planet Earth and everybody on it, we're going to self-destruct. Please believe. We got to get this together, y'all.
I don't think we're far from that, though.
I think, yeah, I think we are moving forward. I think that thanks to the internet, I think we're gonna make it.
I think we self-destruct before we make it, though.
Damn.
I do. I really do.
Damn.
Because you got too many people on, like Trump said, on both sides. I think you got too many people who are stuck in their way, who were grown. They're teaching a generation. It's not about you're 41, I'm 30, right?
You're Leon's age.
Yeah. Shouts out to Leon, man.
That's my dude. We just watched that game yesterday.
Who was playing?
Kevin and Kyrie.
Dude, first of all, Boston, that's another conversation. But Boston was, they're just not up there. Look, I get it. Kevin came back and all of this other stuff. He was rocky, but, you know, he showed out 34 points. Kyrie had 17. You know, it was a great, it looked good. Still preseason, though.
Yeah.
Still preseason. Let's see.
But I see them going to, you know, I see them making it to the end and facing off with LeBron and AD. I see that.
I don't want to hear that, though.
It is what it is.
I don't want to hear that. Because the Lakers don't have anybody for Durant. Hold on.
Oh, you one of those.
Yeah. I'm getting into it all. First of all.
Sorry, y'all.
Segue.
I didn't mean to get us off track.
Segue. Listen. I would take LeBron over KD, right? But being a basketball fanatic the way I am, there is no stopping the offensive player of Kevin Durant. LeBron even said it when he went to the – now, Kevin made a weak move going to the Warriors, but the difference was freaking KD. You cannot stop him. He is 7 feet.
And now he's got a chance to see what that championship world feels like. So he'll
bro,
be-
like there, he's 7 feet with a 6'4 wingspan. He can handle the ball, you know, similar to a point guard, maybe not as good. He has basketball IQ. The boy can go from perimeter to all the way to the inside, and he is going to match up with you any kind of way. There's no stopping him, right?
So who you got on who? Who you got on who?
I don't have anybody on KD. I just don't.
I mean,
and then the Lakers lost Rondo, playoff Rondo. Who guards Kyrie? We got a young buck. He's never won a championship. I'm saying we because I'm a LeBron fan. You know, I know he's at the Lakers, but I'm a LeBron fan. Yeah. We don't have a point guard to guard Kyrie. We just don't. So you got two people, and even though Kyrie
who guards AD? Who guards LeBron?
I understand that. Who guards them? But LeBron isn't putting up stats on the defensive end. AD, he's just
– hold up. Back it up.
I said it. As much as I love LeBron, he's just not putting up stats on the defensive end. His plus minus on defensive shares is horrible. But he's 30. He'll be 37 this year. Like, the dude is – he's past his prime and still dominating, but he's only going to dominate on one. And then, so regular season LeBron and playoff LeBron, he's going to defend to a degree of what feels better. How can I walk away from this and not look like I just let somebody win by? The whole lockup game, he's not just locking you up. You're going to have to put LeBron on KD because it's the best you got. He's the only one who's going to actually understand what it means on how this person is going, but at the end, he's not locking him up. He don't want to get hurt. This man went 16, 17 years with no injuries. He got his first injury. That's traumatizing. He sat out the whole first season of his Lakers career, his Lakers season, off of a groin injury. That's traumatic.
So that's all I want to know. We could get back to that's all I want to know. Are you saying that the Nets are taking out LA next year?
I'm not saying that.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
No, I'm not saying that.
We doing all this talking, but it's gonna be.
I will never say that. Okay. It won't come out of my mouth. Absolutely not. What I am saying is, if they meet up at the finals for 2021, it's going 7 games. And the reality of it is, I just can't say who's gonna win. Because you have playoff LeBron, who this man is this
and
man.
Can we? Well, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Playoff LeBron is a person who we saw what this man did when Kyrie left on game 1-17. He said, "I'm not playing with y'all." The only reason they lost that is not necessarily because JR did what he did, is because the dude missed the free throws. LeBron left that game with 53 points.
LeBron is the man.
You know what I'm saying? We watched this man take it to KD, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Thompson, that whole squad. We saw him taking to him with no other pieces. All he had to do was make both free throws, at least one. They would have won that game. If he would have made that last free throw, there would be no JR situation. Okay, you missed the first one. We were up. We were about, what were we, tied or about to be up? We were winning that game. He missed both free throws. Everybody wants to put it on JR, like, you didn't know what you was doing. It was a stupid move. It was. You should have known what was going on. But at the end of the day, all you had to do was make at least one free throw, and you should have made the last one. You didn't. So JR had his moment. LeBron just tirelessly showed the world, I'm still that guy.
Michael Jordan would have made his free throws. Oops, I didn't mean to say that. Okay. And that's no hate, because y'all know I love some LeBron. Shout out to the Ohio boys. But this is what I want to say. That looks shady, but hey, look, it ain't like that, y'all. But hey, I couldn't help myself. But Kyrie, they sleep on that boy Kyrie. So he's with Kevin Durant right now, which is the kind of equivalent of him being with LeBron, not as equivalent.
Don't let him tell it. He said he said
KD, that was foolishness. It was foolishness. But I understand what he's saying, because Kevin is more clutch as far as it being a shooter on the perimeter.
I think 3 seconds and 10 seconds make a big difference. If you got 3 seconds, okay, give it to KD. You got 10 seconds, put it in LeBron's hands.
Absolutely. You gotta put things in context.
Yeah. Put it in LeBron's hands. All day. LeBron has the most clutch game point winners than anybody, even Mike. Look it up. He's got more game-winning shots than Michael Jordan. Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
I think you might be, that liquor might be kicking in out.
Look it up.
All right, let's get back to the original.
Let's get back to the original. What exactly? Because you took me all the way out, bro. You took me all the way out. What was we talking about? We were talking about. Yeah, you really messed me up, man. Like,
hey, I laugh at the wrong times. Anybody that know me know we could be in a serious movie and somebody could have passed away, and I just break out laughing. That's just me.
I really am at a loss, like trying to figure out exactly where we were.
I'm gonna help trigger your memory. We were talking about coming up with solutions.
Yeah.
So that we don't self-destruct.
Yeah.
As a planet, because everybody got bombs now. And I said coming up with the Heaven on Earth Act.
Yeah.
Which would be mandatory for children of all colors.
And I said, because we have people who are affecting the generations right now. Like, we have a whole bunch of old heads who are, you know, telling them, you know, you got to stand up only for the black people. And then you have the other side where people are saying, but you're better than the black people. You know, white people who are saying you're better than the black people. Our generations are being affected now.
Reverse racism is definitely not the solution.
And so that's why I love the video Wale put out. It was to show what it would look like if it was the other side. What if we had the 400-year start? You know,
that's really dope. I can't wait to see that video,
man.
You know, another dope video. Shout out to Jay-Z, Still Nigga. And that's kind of.
It's a video?
Yeah. Oh, it's real good.
I got to watch it.
Oh, real good. But that's. He basically was talking about us empowering ourselves.
Yeah.
And not waiting for anybody to give us a handout until we can figure out this world peace thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was based on OJ saying, hey, man, you know, And they're like, bro, you still a nigga. No matter what you're talking about, you still a nigga to us. Even if you are innocent, you know, and that's.
It was off the 444 album.
Yeah.
Great album.
Yeah,
great. A lot of people need to listen to it but can't hear it because it's not the trap music. It's not the bumping. It's the. Mm-hmm. It's the relevance of teachings that people need to hear, but in rap form. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I listen to the album.
See, a lot of the rappers like Snoop Dogg and them, they don't really want to conform to the trap sound. But if you want to be relevant and current on the radio,
yeah,
that's what you do. But if you want to stay true to how you've been kicking it, then you just
see a lot of black people have problems with Jay-Z saying it doesn't make sense for me to go back to the Marcy Projects. They can't hear me. They're stuck in a way that doesn't allow me to be effective, and I'll be the next Nipsey Hussle. But then he puts out the 444 album, and it gets nowhere near the ratings it should have got, and all it was teaching knowledge.
Oh yeah, he's enlightened now.
All it was telling people, I could buy a Wraith. A Wraith is going to devalue as soon as I drive it off the lot. Or I can go buy the next painting that's going to continue to accumulate value.
Absolutely.
Because it gets better with time.
Absolutely. And people love
to buy history.
Absolutely. He even talked about how he wished he would have brought that apartment, and now that apartment is this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But he was doing what a lot of us do.
Mm-hmm.
When we're not used to money, is we want to try to
seem like we're somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not.
And Stitton saying, okay, it's okay to treat yourself. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
But it's got to be done.
It's got to be balanced. It's got to be balanced.
So before we start recording the concept of balance, we were talking about what men should do as far as finances. Handling your business, paying a savings. Paying investments and then having some money for yourself to enjoy yourself.
Once you do what you do, once you pay your bills, and once you splurge on yourself, you should still have some money for savings, for a rainy day. You should still have some money for investing.
Now, how do you do that? I'm a young boy or a young guy who I want more for my life, but right now I'm working at McDonald's. Not really making a lot of money. I'm 22 years old. College school isn't for me. I didn't succeed in school. I did enough to graduate.
Well, first of all, a lot of people who are not academic, they have tests on this. A lot of people who didn't get the straight A's in school are some of your CEOs and millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah.
So there's different type of intelligence.
Yeah,
so you could be good in science, bad with math. Good with math, bad with reading. So just because you're academic, that don't mean you might be the next Fortune 500 CEO out here. So don't limit yourself based on, oh, I'm not really good in school. And people learn differently too. That's another thing. They try to teach everybody the same way when everybody learns differently. So I would say to that person, you know, you work with what you have, learn how to budget the little bit you have. Be responsible over that first. And then if you can think of a way to bring in some extra money, whether that be, you know, shoveling snow, cutting grass, babysitting, you know, just learn how to budget a little bit of money. So when you get a lot of money.
How do we get to these people who want more than what they have? Only because we live in a social media world.
I'm doing a lot over here. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. We live in a social media based world where everything is based off of the influence of what you see. Even when I was growing up,
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? We were outside playing. You know, the person of influence who you looked up was the biggest G who was on the street, and it just seemed like he had a lot. And so that's what you initially tried to add up to. Right now, everybody is on social media. You got people like Jake Paul who goes and is able to fight. Person who was, you know, playing basketball bef- probably maybe before this dude was even born. But you make all this money, and so now your first your first thought on what success means is, all I gotta do is make it big on YouTube. All I gotta do is make it big on Instagram, Facebook, and I can do whatever it is I want to do.
So my answer to that is, it goes back to parenting. It's the parent's job to teach the child their value is beyond money. Who are you as a person? You know, to be a leader and not let the clothing define you, but you define, you know, who you are by your integrity and how you treat people. And at the same time, teaching them financial literacy, how to save at a young age. Teach them how to survive in this cold world psychologically. Y'all heard me?
Yeah.
How to survive. See, many of us, this is why I said we got to pass a law to teach these things, because many of us don't understand how to survive in this world psychologically. And that's why you have a lot of people being depressed and committing suicide, you know, and many of us are not taught that your value is beyond money. And it, you know, so I look back at the parent, that if that goes back on the parent to teach them, hey, you're not great because you have a lot of money. You're great because of how you treat people. You're great because of your contribution back to the world. Let me teach you how to save money. Let me teach you how to manage your money. So I'm going to go with parenting for 500.
Parenting for 500 is pretty good. And before we get more into parenting, I want to do this little segment real quick on green light. So if you guys have kids, I have a daughter who is 5 going on 17, and she is the biggest, can I get more toys? You just got toys. So the biggest thing I'm trying to teach her is the ability to understand that what you do is not necessarily for your parents. It's for you. You go to school, you get good grades, that's for you. You clean your room and you want rewards, that's honestly you just saying what you want to do. So we live in a society where everybody is being encouraged by what they can get. I was told by somebody about this app called Greenlight. Greenlight is the parent's wallet to be able to give your kids an allowance. And
nice.
I use Greenlight. Greenlight works for me. It's basically an app that your kid is able to have a card. So Greenlight allows you to be able to set your child up with a credit, like a debit card, and you can load money onto your child's debit card, and be able to buy whatever it is they want without looking to their parents. So I'm trying to teach my child some accountability, some responsibility. And
because but how many of us, that's, first of all, that's great. How many of us are teaching our kids that you only borrow against the grain or get a credit card to either build credit, or because you're about to invest into a business that's about to make you that money back within the next few months?
Well, that's the thing. For me, and what I'm trying to get people to understand right now, Greenlight is something you can start young. So my child is going to have a Greenlight card. She is 5, but she goes into Walmart and looks at everything and is like, I want this. And I'm like, well, do you have enough? And she's nice. and she has to be reminded, look, every 2 weeks you get paid, right? So if you do what you're supposed to do on, you know, on your days where you know you're supposed to clean, okay, then, you know, did you do that on these past 2 Tuesdays? For me, it's every 2 weeks she gets a payment of $50. So $50, some people might say that's enough. I don't care. Worry about your child, not mine. and so every 2 weeks she gets a payment of $50. That $50 goes towards, did she do exactly what, either when she's with me or with her mother, did she do what she was supposed to do? Did she have to get asked twice? I help her understand This is exactly what you're going to get when you have a job. So when you have a job, it is the concept of did you do what you have to do and you weren't told? This is your job. This is your room. This is exactly what you're supposed to do. So green light. Shouts out to green light. Green light allows me to give my daughter a card, and I get to monitor what she buys, what she doesn't buy. Whether
how
she's
do you monitor it? Because you got to prove it before they can. Mm-mm. So let's say she was making a purchase, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't like the purchase. You can decline it.
I don't know. I just got started. You're asking too many questions. But what I will say is it does give me the ability to help my daughter teach some responsibility. I have had a conversation with my daughter and sat down with her every 2 weeks. When daddy gets paid, you get paid. You get $50. So this is something that I wanted to do for her. I also have a Roth IRA set up for her. That's another story. But green light allows her to be able to have money that is at her disposal. We have had conversations about her and her responsibilities around the house. Have you cleaned up your room? Have you done your schoolwork? Because at the end of the day, when you go to college, I'm not going to be on the college campus. If you don't go to college and you say you want to own your own business, I'm not going to be there to make sure you did everything you're supposed to do for what you said you wanted. So if you want the toys and the dolls right now, okay, good. Look, that's great. Daddy's everything you do doesn't have to be rewarded. That's one of the biggest things I'm teaching to my daughter. Just because you got an A in school doesn't mean you get rewarded. You were supposed to get that A in school. You were supposed to do good in school. So because we live in this day, we live in this society where everybody gets a trophy. No.
I feel you.
So when you don't get an A, that gets deducted.
Mm.
If you don't get a B, that is you. She has an A for me, for my household. She has an A and B, a A and B and C plus area. Okay. This is exactly where she gets to work with. You get anything less than a D, you get anything less than a C plus average, your payment is deducted.
Well, that's interesting because, like I said, we kind of put all our kids in the same bracket and say, hey, you know, because you're real academic, you're gonna do better than your brother and sister.
Exactly.
Or because you didn't do good in academics, that you won't be successful.
Exactly. So that's why I have it at the C plus, because if you don't get anything more than a C plus, they should not allow you to graduate. They should not. C plus is me. C plus is me. School didn't work for me.
Me either.
School did not teach me the
and
concept.
It also didn't work for a lot of people who are very successful.
Right. School did not teach me the concept of what it means to be an entrepreneur. School did not teach me the concept of what it means to go get a trade and be able to do things by way of a certification, welding, electrical, plumbing, HVAC, all these things that people are doing because they found late in life or they found early, whichever your case is, and realizing you can make a living off of that. They told me to go work for somebody. So if you get a C plus average and you make it out of high school, guess what? Your life ain't over.
Right.
You still can make millions. Mm-hmm. You still can start your business. You still can start something for even if you want to live, whether you want to live mediocre or high value, a C plus average does not allow you to stop that. Now, when you get in DNFs, that's when they start holding you back. If you have somebody that cares for you. I was saddened because my daughter went to a school where they played on her looks. When she got to kindergarten and she wasn't meeting the requirements to just know how to take a test and match certain things and know numbers where she was supposed to be, they were like, hey, she's behind. She will be held back. That's the way the world is. We don't care nothing about you looking good. We don't care nothing that you have good hair. We don't care nothing that your skin ain't got pimples. Can you perform or not on a merit base, whether you're white, black, or indifferent? That's the thing that we need to get back to. It doesn't matter if you're white or black. Can you perform?
So I'm so glad that you said that, because you said to me earlier in the show, if any of y'all who were watching this earlier during the show, you said, you know, don't quote me verbatim which how you said it, but you were basically saying, is it wrong for a woman, Let me know if I misunderstood you. If it's wrong for a woman to want to be with a man because of his money, and I think I was saying that a man can offer more things than money to the table. Mm-hmm. But now let's flip it on the woman.
Mm-hmm. She got to bring something to the table,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's a lot of women on Instagram clapping the cheeks.
Mm-hmm. OnlyFans.
Yeah, and still not married.
Still not married.
So what are you bringing to the table other than...
You saw the Kevin Samuels.
What happened?
When he was like, you're average. He was talking to that girl.
Oh, I wanna comment on that. Thanks for bringing that up. I didn't like how he did her like that because I feel that we African-Americans don't need to be fronting on each other in public.
Wait a minute. There were some things I was listening to.
I was in agreement with him in some things, but I just feel his approach, it just felt like he was kind of fronting on her in front of people.
You don't think
and we don't need to do that in our community. We need to uplift each other, not
we
not,
don't.
Not
we don't
kill each other.
But you don't think she did it to herself first?
I didn't see the whole interview, so I don't know what was said. Okay, I just saw the one little clip, and it just seemed like he was really coming for her.
Man. When I saw it first,
I agreed with him.
I'm sorry.
I agreed with him. It's just approach.
When I saw it, I was in tears. Because I was like, this dude is a savage. Who is this man?
Oh, that was straight savage mode.
This dude is a savage. So, first of all, I watched the whole interview.
Okay.
First of all, she came on demanding conversation with him on a topic he did not ask for. So, she was on there wrong. He was on... His initial reason for answering her call was because she was supposed to come on and literally talk about something that she disagreed with concerning the conversation of the whole podcast. Not to talk about how she can get a man of a high value. So the whole conversation with him and her in the beginning was, you want what you want in areas where it's not asked for. But you want it anyway. Because you just want what you want. So she kind of opened the door to being talked to that way. His initial conversation was, I'm opening up the door for anybody who has conversation. If you've listened to this man's conversation, please, if you have problems with how he talked to her, this man talks to men crazy too.
And that's not cool.
It's not cool. But what I will say
he's consistent.
He's consistent. He's consistent.
He won't give you a pass because you got breasts.
No. And so I'll agree with that.
Okay.
I'm not going to pass you because you have breasts. I'm not out here just trying to say, you know, because you're a woman, I'm going to take it easy on you. I give men the real, too. And sometimes the real is not everything I agree with because he's basing it off of his own personal experiences. And at the end of the day, that's his podcast. You came on his, we came on, whoever goes on there, you came on his platform.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? And so the thing with that was she came on and he was having this conversation and he opened up the platform for everybody to basically say what they agreed or disagreed with what he was talking about. And she came on trying to get advice about how to find a high value man. Totally different than what he asked for.
I see.
So that in and of itself was saying, I feel like I'm supposed to have, because you've dealt with this before, I'm going to go to something else and you just have to. That's not how the world will work.
Well, too, let me speak to y'all women out here. I'm going to give y'all a little advice. Y'all ready? Some of y'all need to have a seat. Let me give y'all some advice. What time is it?
6.
All right. Wrapping it up, y'all. If you want a man, you have to be able to show that man that you're wifey material. One of the best ways to show a man that is by your ability to show him what you would show him if you were his wife. I hear a lot of women say, well, he'll see when he marries me. He's never going to marry you because you haven't showed him that you could be submissive now. he's never going to marry you because you haven't shown him you're a team player now. You're not thoughtful now. You don't go take him out to dinner now. You know, you don't shake your ass for him now. So I told you I ain't scared of none of y'all out there. So if you want to get a man, you want to show him what it would be like. Because that's what boyfriend, girlfriend is. You're playing house. You're testing out the water to see what it would be like. So go all the way in every area. Don't just go all the way with sex and with intimacy. Go all the way across the board. That's how you get a man. You're going to show him, look, this is what I would be like if I was your wife. I may not always agree with you, but you my man. Let me have a seat. You know what? Let me do something nice for you. You always take me out. Let me take you out. You know, my friend Jolie Jones, shout out to Jolie Jones. She has a book. She saved her marriage. 30 days of pleasing my husband. Because their relationship was on the brink. She would go to work crying. She was even tempted to go and date other men out here because their marriage was on. But she, I don't know if she came up with this concept herself or somebody, psychologist, I don't know. But the book is called 30 Days of Pleasing My Husband. Save the marriage. So what I'm saying to y'all women out there, and another thing, there's nothing wrong being a boss. Boss up at your job, boss up in the streets with your girl, boss up at the church. But when you get home, be able to take that hat off. You know, it doesn't take anything away from you. I've been in situations where I was the artist and the buck stopped with me. I've been in situations where I'm the musical director and I'm one of the leaders, but the buck doesn't stop with me. And I've been in situations where I'm just a hired gun. I'm just one of the band members. You know, they might care about my opinion, but, you know,
yeah.
I'm lower on the totem pole. And yeah. I never felt less. It been in situations where I was just a drummer and I knew I was the strongest joint, the strongest guy on the team, had the most industry experience.
Yeah.
But I'm not the band director or the artist right now. And you need me to play drums how you need me to play it. You want eighths on the hi-hat or sixteenths. That's what y'all women got to learn. Y'all got to learn. We men, we understand this. If we're part of the Crips or we're part of a mafia or whatever, we understand that's the godfather. He's the head. So even if I don't agree, let me play my role.
I think there's too much generalizing in relationship. This is going so far.
When you're saying generalizing, what you mean?
It's saying everybody's the same in one category. It's saying
that. No. I'm just giving some pointers for some women who may have struggled with men. One of the struggles I see that we men talk about in the barbershop is the really independent boss woman.
Yeah.
That does not allow her husband to come into her life. And I don't think there's any, let me say this, because I already know some of y'all is saying this. I don't feel that the man has to be the head. I told you I ain't scared of y'all. I don't think the man has to be the head. There's some relationships that I know that I won't put out there, but y'all know too, where the woman's the head. It may be unofficial, but we know that she running, calling the shots.
Right.
And I don't think anything's wrong with that. All I'm saying is, if you coming into it in a traditional perspective or from a Christian perspective, and you saying my man is the head, then why is you giving your sorority that respect? You giving your church that respect? You giving your job that respect? And you get home to your man, you got all this mouth. I'm done.
Okay. So, to go.
Y'all, you're welcome. You're welcome.
To go back on the whole Kevin Samuels thing was, I feel she did it to herself before he did anything.
I still feel he shouldn't have came at her like that. I feel we need to learn.
But did you hear the part where he was like, give yourself a rating, and don't
that
say
was
seven.
Like, that wasn't cool.
Once again, this is her coming on his platform. There's another video that came out where a girl came on and didn't take none of his stuff. And he hung up the phone on her. She was quite secure in however she sound. But she came on his platform. She never backed down from anything. She was saying what she wanted, and that's what it was going to be. The problem is you're on his platform. And so when you go on somebody else's platform demanding something, yeah, are you secure?
I see what you're saying. You're saying if you – I think what he's saying, ladies, is if you get with a man, technically from a traditional perspective, you're getting on his platform. You're taking his last name, or you have goals to get his last name. So you're joining his company. And before
first,
you,
I'm,
before
I'm
you,
not,
before,
I'm not even really talking about. I'm talking about the Kevin Samuels thing. That,
okay, I thought you was relating it. Okay.
No,
I got you.
If I was relating it to anything, I was relating it to the concept of why I want my daughter to be sufficient and why I want her to be independent within her own right. Is because in order for her to learn how to love somebody else, you have to learn how to love yourself
absolutely.
First.
Absolutely.
And so what my thing is I don't want you to feel like you're going to school for mommy. I don't want you to feel like you're going to school for daddy.
I see.
The way you love playing with dolls because you love it. Mommy and daddy don't play with you all the time when you play with dolls, but you'll play with them regardless. That's the same way I need you to feel how you doing your own responsibility. It's because of you. And so what I realize is we all go to work, whether we like it or not, to pay our bills, mm-hmm. to do all these things and make sure we're good. And we're still going to go to work. Why? Because at the end of the day, whether I like it or not, this is what I have to do to remain effective in my own right.
I got you.
Right. So I don't need you to like cleaning your room. I don't need you to like washing dishes or whatever your choice is. I need you to make sure that this is what you're doing because this is how you're going to be able to be sustainable within your own right. And it's only going to be time. I can't tell you what it's going to be like in 5 years. I can't tell you what it's going to be like in 20 years. What I can tell you is society is not seeming like it's on a place to stop. The value of the dollar ain't going no lower. From what I see.
That's going back to what I was saying about parenting. And that's real cool that you teaching your daughter those values.
Yeah. So when you don't go to school and you don't want to do your homework and you don't want to do that, look, everything you don't do, this is mainly concerning school with me.
I got you.
When you just don't perform, you know you got homework and you don't do things that you're supposed to, it's a $5 deductible. You get anything lower than the C+. I'm not asking for greatness. I'm asking you to be able to sustain yourself. That's it.
I see.
When you don't get a seat, and once again, this is how I'm doing my child.
So are you basing her allowance strictly on her grades or all around performance?
Basically when you put in an application and here's the requirements you have to have is mainly on grades. It's mainly on grades. So here's
how
I do.
When you say application, what you mean?
So like when you fill out an application, you see the requirements, right?
Mm-hmm.
The requirements of what you have to have.
So for instance, if you were going in to be a computer technician and you have straight A's in school, but you don't know nothing about computers, and we need you to be a leader or a boss director as well, and you have no leadership skills.
Then I'm not hiring you.
Right, but that had nothing to do with your grades.
Yeah, but
I'm just using a couple examples.
So that's an example for somebody who's filling out an application that they know that they can't qualify for. My thing with my daughter is this. So she gets $50 every 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So when she gets $50, it's based off of grades. So if she was to fill out an application, she is signing on the dotted line. So the dotted line says the requirements for getting this is to go to school and do what you're supposed to do. But what are some other strengths? You know how sometimes it'd be like, what are other strengths you have, whether you're on Indeed or whatever? What are you a team player? The other strengths for me is, are you doing your chores? On specific days where you're supposed to clean, is it clean? I don't necessarily deduct from that because we can work on that. I can work on that by giving you a schedule at home.
I don't see how that's different than grades, but I don't want to spend a lot of time going back and forth, but I just don't know how it's different.
It's not different, but
it's like you put more value on grades than the other qualities that she could be working on as well.
I say grades because when you live in your own house, Ain't nobody gonna tell you how to clean your room.
But I thought you were trying to build her total character, not just academic.
I definitely am.
Okay.
I definitely am. And so there may be loopholes and however I do things that I'm still working on. My biggest thing is her being able to do what she's supposed to in the sight of where somebody is looking at her. And
but you're looking at her and how she performs at the house as well.
You, very, very true.
Just very assessment true. I just came up with.
Very, very true. And yeah. And so with that being said, I don't want to seem.
Because that's going to determine her success in life, too.
I guess for me, she's only five.
I got you.
She's only five. And so
as she gets older, you'll start opening
putting more
it
on it.
Yeah, I got
and
you.
And my thing is, don't do too much where kids can't just be kids.
I got you.
We have a lot of that now where kids don't know how to be kids. Kids don't know how to be kids. Kids don't know what it means to get in trouble. And it's small. Right now you got kids, you got 8-9-year-olds walking around with drugs, and that's now they're spending the rest of their life in juvie. Then I got to go do an adult sentence. I see it firsthand from my job.
Damn.
I want my child to just be a child. Get in trouble because I told you to clean your room and you ain't know how to. Build the reverence between a parent and a child. Build that reverence. Please. You know, and so if that's, if because getting deep into it, now I'm thinking, yeah, that's my thing with home chores, is because there was no I didn't get what it meant to do chores off just them telling me. I got it off of not doing it and stuff being taken away from me in the household. Oh, I didn't do my chores, now I don't get to watch my favorite show.
Let me give you an example or something that I wish I would have had together when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I'm not dirty, but I'm not the neatest person.
Right.
So on any given day that you might come to my apartment, it may not be straightened up, you know, versus somebody who learned to be neat every day.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that kicks my butt because days would go past and I really can't perform to my ultimate level because the clutter doesn't allow me to really woosah.
Yeah.
So it's something I'm mastering now as an adult.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, I think those things are just as important as the grades.
And rightfully so. Yeah. Rightfully so. I mean, and like I said, I mean, I think for me, it just goes back to, I just want my child to be a child.
I got you.
But I also want her to have some kind of reverence for her parents, for her mom. I mean, she'll call me and say, "Yo, mommy didn't let me do this." And I said, "Well, what did you do?" I'm not fighting against your mom. Your mom's the reason why you're here. You know, it took both of us. So I have a reverence for her. I'm never going to go against her. And if I do, you'll never know about it. Because what I don't need you to see is the people who are in charge of you to make sure you succeed going at each other.
That's dope.
That's what I don't need you to see.
You know, I know your backstory and everything. So I'm glad that y'all out here rolling and figured it out for the baby girl.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely. But
so many people don't figure it out.
No.
And the child suffers from it.
I mean, there's still problems. There's still issues. But in what relationship or ex-relationship or whatever the case is there not problems? The thing is, who's going to be the person that's actually going to practice what they preach and try to be the solution? My solution isn't to fight with you and damn sure not to fight with you in front of the person we brought here who is now going to be the legacy of us both.
I love it.
You know, and so I want my child to be a child, but I also want her to succeed, even if it's at the minimum, to get to a place where now you don't have to tell it. No college is going to care that you had a C+ average. Not if you just want to go to college. Here's what I'm saying. If you're trying to go to like Howard or Stanford or those places, then yeah, you really need to work on your grades. But just to go to get a good degree, you can have a C+ average. Yeah. You can go to Ohio State
if you want to get some scholarships.
Yeah,
if you want,
and see, and that's the thing. To me, that's working on what do you want? Right now, she wants dolls and toys. Well, how do you get dolls and toys? It's not going to be you. What I don't want her to do is mommy and daddy have to buy me the dolls and toys, because that's right now, that's what she thinks of. But see, we got 18-year-olds. We got 19-year-olds who are banking on what mommy and daddy can do and what big cuz can do and what OG can do. And so then we get mad when can't nobody do it for us.
I got you.
I need her now at this point to start realizing.
And that's what you were saying.
This is what I'm. This is what I'm earning. This is what I'm doing.
I got you. And I guess that's what you, to tie it back all the way to the beginning. And I don't know if we was rolling tape yet, but you were talking about black folk being able to pull themselves up by their own bridges and not wait for a handout.
Yeah, I don't. We don't need a handout.
No.
I don't need you to tell me what I can and can't have and what you can give to me. I don't want to necessarily at this point. I don't necessarily want to get too much into the whole concept of politics and what side you should be on. What I want is for everybody to be able to be empowering of their own right in their own community, their own structure, their own space to say, hey, this is what we command. This is what we demand. And this is why we should have it. This is what I bring to the table.
Absolutely.
So for me, with my baby girl, shouts out to Greenlight again, is the ability for her to understand, look, every 2 weeks, this is what you should look forward to if this is what you do. This is what you agree to. And if you don't, okay, cool. Because right now, it's not the same. You don't give your child a whooping, go to school, do what you do, and now you got a whooping, so now you're going to act right. You give your child a whooping, and somebody see one wrong welt, I'm going to jail.
Well, first of all, I strongly believe this, that you don't have to whoop your kids. I can understand if your child is at a point where they're not talking yet and you give them a little paddle, not even hard, just something, a little paddle. But, like, once your kid is able to talk, at that point, I believe you should start reasoning with them and using other intelligent methods to positively reinforce the values that you want them to learn.
I think we grew up too hard on spoil the rod.
Well, we learned that from
spare the rod, spoil the child.
And we learned that from slavery.
And we did.
That's how they checked us.
And so I think it has to mean something. For me, I've only dealt with my daughter on a level of that sort once. And it hasn't had to happen again. Now, does it mean she still just is a perfect child? No. But she's talking. She knows how to have a conversation. She may not be able to articulate everything the way I would want her to. But
we don't want to teach them that violence.
No.
You can always figure something out. You don't have to resort to violence.
What I've realized with my daughter is you take something away that she loves.
Or you reward them when they're doing right.
But see, the thing is, society doesn't necessarily reward you for doing right. You're supposed to. Here's an example. My daughter got an A on her test. Was so excited for her, and she was happy.
But
she
I don't
got
know
an
if
A.
I agree with that, because when you go to job, and you know you come to work, we pay you. If you're really good at your job, we promote you. You know, mm-hmm. So I don't know if I agree with that.
Not every job, not in my job. And I got a government job. Not at my job.
Not at your job, what? There's somebody in a leadership position at your job that's making more money.
Yeah.
Because they worked for it.
They worked for it?
Mm-hmm.
They had to fill out a test. They had to pass a test.
Yep.
They had to do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, if I do extra, it doesn't mean I get paid more. If I go do somebody else's job, I don't get rewarded for it.
You're being technical with me. I'm just saying, I think the world rewards you based on your hard work. I do.
Does the world reward you, or do you reward you?
Technically, you reward you.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I got you.
You reward you, but nobody's going to pay you for or because here's the thing: you signed the dotted line when you took your job. So if you don't do overtime, you're not going to get paid more. If you work at McDonald's, you're not going to get paid more because you had a hectic day at there. You did everything you were supposed to do, and two people called off, and you did more burgers than you were supposed to. You signed the dotted line.
I hear what you're saying.
That's all I'm saying. If you do what you're supposed to do, this is what you are entitled to. Now, when you demand more, and what I mean by demand more, finding a trade, finding something that produces profit, not wage. Profit, something you do outside of yourself. Wellness.
We say the same thing.
Yeah. So my thing with her is, this is what you're signing to. This is what you're agreeing to.
I got you.
You go to school. You get your grades. What also does that mean? That means I have to have accountability to myself. I have to go to work because I agreed to my daughter as her employer to pay her $50 every 2 weeks.
It's dope. I like that concept.
So if I don't do well and she continues to keep performing, what am I teaching her? I'm teaching her that her work means nothing because I can't pay her no more. I can't give her what I promised.
I think that's dope. I think that's real dope.
So my shouts out to Greenlight. We normally can talk all day. There were some other points that I wanted to talk about, but I'm excited about what we did talk about.
We covered some subjects. I don't mind coming back on the show. You know how we get down.
For sure. Let people know what you're doing, what you got coming out.
So y'all can check me out on Pandora Radio and iHeartRadio. Once again, thank you, Drew, for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
I got some new music coming out for y'all next week. We'll be dropping that Drummer Boy. Y'all check it out. Drew, you got a chance to hear a little bit. Was it cool?
Check that out. Check that out. Check it out.
Let's see. Y'all can follow me on Facebook, Instagram.
Okay.
I'm on YouTube.
And Elijah Gilmore.
Yeah.
Cleveland's own. Look up. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys tune in every Tuesday. I know it's been some things going on. We're getting mechanical things together. We're getting equipment things together. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be brighter. It's going to be better. We're getting videos together. Make sure you guys look forward to the established YouTube page that's coming out where we'll be able to put the podcast on there. We're looking at developing relationships with people. If you're looking at being a sponsor for the podcast because this has affected you in some kind of way, please reach out to me. I'm on IG. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. Or just reach out to the Anchor podcast page on Anchor, the Gray Area, Andrew J's. Make sure you guys subscribe, share, comment, put this thing out, and let's continue to change the culture, change the narrative. Let's continue to make differences. Let's make sure we continue to have the conversation that needs to be had.
Absolutely. One other thing I want to throw in there, if it's okay with you.
Yeah.
For those who want to make a difference, you can go to my website, ElijahGilmore.com.
Okay.
And if you want to make a donation to the Tribe of Eli Foundation, you can do that, and it can be a tax write-off, and we will send you a receipt of where the money's going and how it's affecting our children and our community. So just wanted to let y'all know that for anybody that's just looking to make a difference, every
the
little bit
The
gray
area helps. Is going
to
make a difference. We send some money. So thank you guys for listening. We look forward to seeing you every Tuesday. If it doesn't come out on a Tuesday right now, we're getting right back on schedule. But every Tuesday, 9 a.m., we're looking to do some more because I got podcast people lined up, conversations lined up. So every Tuesday at 9 a.m., look forward to the podcast. Everybody be safe, be yes, healthy, sir. Continue to enjoy
Keep
this
those immune systems up.
Enjoy this holiday season.
Yes.
And we look forward to what 2021 has in store for us. Y'all be blessed. I see you. This your boy, Drew.